Laverne Cox is one of the stars of that Netflix series, Orange is the New Black. And so popular in America right now, Mattel decided to make a Laverne Cox Barbie doll as part of their tribute collection, Dolls of Famous People. But the problem is, Laverne Cox, in reality, is a biological man whose real name is Marcus. So he's trans, which is a man just pretending to be a woman. And for $40, you can buy your kids the very first transgender Barbie doll so they can celebrate Laverne Cox and transanity too. People, right now, there is a demonic spirit of deception and transgenderism sweeping across this country because the devil, LGBT activists, and their cheerleaders on the left have declared war on how God created people and ordered society. And if we Christians don't start standing up for the truth, how God created people, male and female, people, the family, the church, and this country is doomed for sure. We're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Image is Everything. Look at how people were created in the image of God and countering all the lies that the trans activists are claiming. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at what gender is really all about to start with. And to see that, we turn this morning to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 28. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Genesis 1, starting at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray that we would leave this church this morning with a brand new appreciation of how you created us and how you specifically created us, male or female, for a reason. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word, teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. You want to learn the truth about anything, you turn to the Bible, the Word of God. And if you want to learn the truth about human beings and gender, you turn to that part of the Bible that tells us human beings and gender were created by God. To the book of Genesis. To the very beginning. Absolutely critical, foundational truth that you find in the very first chapter, on the very first page, because it's that important. Our text this morning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, tells us three things that we need to understand about gender so we will realize that image really is everything. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to understand about gender is that people and their gender were created by God. And that's exactly what Moses is telling us here in verses 26 and 27. Notice, created, not evolved. This crazy idea that all of a sudden, for absolutely no reason whatsoever, absolutely nothing exploded. And that resulted in an ordered universe with shape-shifting animals that talked. Here's just a few of the scientific laws that evolution violates. Entropy, biogenesis, Mendel's law of genetics, spontaneous generation, law of thermodynamics, law of information systems, specified complexity, statistical mathematics, natural law, beneficial mutation. I could go on and on. And they say us Christians are anti-science. Next to the 2020 election, the theory of evolution is the biggest farce in the history of the whole wide world. And you know why? Because Psalm 100 verse 3, "The Lord is God, and it is He who made us." Created, not evolved. And how do we know that? Well, evolutionists claim that we evolved from other animals. But the problem is, we humans are not animals. We eat like a horse, go to bed with the chickens, and have a memory like an elephant, but we are not animals. According to Genesis chapter 1, man was created at a different time than animals were. And when God created animals, God just said, and they were. God created animals instantly by just speaking them into being out of nothing. But when God created man, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was so special, God got personally involved. He got his hands dirty and took his own sweet time and made man and shaped and formed and molded him just exactly like we see him today, because man is a special creation of God. We're being told over and over again by the evolutionists that man just evolved from other ape-like creatures. But to this day, no missing link has ever been found to prove it. And it never will be, because evolution never happened. Folks, not one of us is a monkey's uncle. But all the evolutionists say, there's a 98.4% genetic similarity between human beings and monkeys. So what? Common design does not prove common ancestor. And it's that 1.6% difference that determines whether or not you're going to go to college or spend your life swinging on a tire in the zoo. Human beings have a 50% genetic similarity with bananas too. But that doesn't mean we've all gone bananas. Well, most of us anyway. A couple years ago, a macaque monkey at an Israeli zoo in Tel Aviv had a flu that affected his brain. And after that, he started walking on his hind legs like a man does. So that means what? All people are just monkeys with brain damage? No! Genesis chapter 1, the biggest difference between animals and human beings. Animals were created after their own kind. Human beings were created in the image of God. And what does the image of God mean? Well, it's not physical, because God the Father is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. So He has no physical features. This girl right here is the spitting image of her mother. Absolutely gorgeous. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, she not only has the image of man, she also has the image of God. Amen. So it's not physical, it's spiritual. Image of God means we are like God. We have feelings and reason and logic and emotions. And we have a sense of right and wrong. We have a sense of eternity and heaven and hell and judgment day. Things that animals do not have. My cat Peaches doesn't stay up all night worried about her sins. You never hear a cow singing a song. Horses don't admire sunsets. Dogs don't wear clothes. Well, not by their own choice, anyway. Your pets don't have a soul. We human beings do. And because we have a soul, that means we can relate to God. We can have a relationship with God like animals can't. Image of God is what the animals don't have. And do we understand how valuable that image is? I brought two bills with me today. A $1 bill and a $100 bill. Exactly the same kind of paper, same kind of ink, exactly the same size. So why is this one a lot more valuable than this one? I'll tell you why. Because this has got a picture of Ben Franklin on it. This has got a picture of George Washington on it. The value of a thing is determined by the image that it has. Just like you and me. We are the image of God. The Imago Dei. God's representative on earth. Created and called by God to show the world what God is really like. What do you mean we have to wear a mask on our faces? The image of God. But the problem is, our sin mars that image. And that's true for every single one of us. None of us are what God meant us to be, because God meant all of us to be something better. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, honor God with your body. Honor God with that image. But folks, what in the world is going on there? That's not glorifying God. That's glorifying the devil. Transgenderism mars the image of God. You can tell just by looking, that is not a girl. That is a guy just trying to look like a girl. And you know why? Because transgenderism blows off God. The heck with the way God created me. I'm going to create myself according to how I feel. Christian activist Laura Perry, who tried living as a man before she came back to Christ, said this. Transgenderism at the most fundamental level is seeing the entire world through the lens of self and feelings. So you heap to yourself those who will affirm and celebrate your feelings and push away those who would speak truth to you. And it's open rebellion against God, because shall the pot say to the potter, why did you make me like this? No. And transgenderism defaces the image of God in us. But here's the good news. Sin may deface it, but it doesn't erase it. And when you turn to Jesus Christ, Jesus restores that image of God in you in perfect righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. We are the image of God and special creations of God. And I've had to remember that I am a special creation of God my entire life. Because all my life, I've done all kinds of things that are a lot more typical of girls than they are boys. When I was 5 years old, I wanted a baby doll for Christmas. And my mom and dad got me one. And I still have it, even though I don't have much time to play with it anymore. When I was 6 years old, I wanted a toy kitchen set, a toy sink and a stove and a refrigerator. And my mom and dad got me one because I wanted to play house. And even though I love sports, I absolutely stunk at all of them. Little League baseball, I couldn't run or hit or throw to save my soul. And I didn't play basketball like a girl because most girls were better at basketball than I was. In PE class, when they'd pick sides for basketball, guys would pick girls before they would pick me. That's how bad I was. And remember those national standardized fitness tests you had to do in junior high? I only did 9 sit-ups. 9. And I couldn't even do 1 pull-up. And our PE coach Larry Hall said, "Good God, Garner, what are you going to do with that girly bag of bones?" I was about as athletic as athlete's foot. And thank God my parents weren't woke back then, because they'd have probably given me puberty blockers and started me transitioning. And I know there's somebody thinking right now, "Kevin, are you sure that you're not gay or trans?" Yeah. Because even though I did a lot of girl stuff, I also did a lot of boy stuff. And played with tractors and trucks and G.I. Joes and put model tanks together. Pretended like I was Daniel Boone and played high school football. But the back and forth between the boy stuff and the girl stuff continued. Because I never had a date with a girl all through high school and college. Not because I'm gay or trans, but because I was shy. In fact, Sue was the second girl I ever went out with in my entire life. But ever since we've been married, I still have done a lot of things that are typical of wives, so Sue does the things that are typical of the husbands. Now, I do take care of everything outside. The snow, the grass, I take the garbage out, I handle all the bugs and everything that's dead. But I also do a lot of cooking, and I do a lot of dishes. And I get the vast majority of the groceries because I worked in a grocery store for 8 years. Meanwhile, Sue takes care of all the money, pays all the bills, takes all the pictures when we're on trips. When we go to buy a car, Sue's talking to the salesman about the rack and pinion steering system because she's done all the research. Years ago, we had a guy tell us, "Kevin and Sue, you have a very unusual marriage relationship, but it seems to work." Yeah. But I don't do typical guy things in marriage either. And if you think that's something, back in 2018, a doctor diagnosed me with gynecomastia, which means during puberty, my body did not produce enough testosterone. And now, it's evened out since then, but what that caused is that 95% of my sperm is abnormal, which is one of the reasons Sue and I were never able to have children. And gynecomastia also causes extra swelling in the breast tissue and the stomach tissue. In other words, gynecomastia makes boys look a lot like girls there. Yeah. Try dealing with that when you're 11, 12, and 13 years old, and other kids in school telling you you needed to wear a bra. Talk about the devil making you think you're trans. And the only reason I'm telling you this today is to say I know exactly what it's like. I know exactly how it feels to hate the body that God gave you when you were born. And if I had done what a lot of guys are doing today in my situation, I'd be up here with my junk cut off, wearing a dress, and going by Raven instead of Kevin. But you know why I didn't do that? Because I am a Christian. Because I am saved. And because of that, I realize even though I am not a perfect man in the eyes of the world, I am perfect in the eyes of the Lord. Because when God looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God in me. Absolutely perfect. You're listening to this sermon right now? You've got questions about your gender? Listen to me. You need to turn to Jesus Christ and get saved too. So you not only be a special creation of God, but even more importantly, a new creation in Christ. The first thing we need to understand about gender was created by God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about gender. Not only gender was created by God, but God also created gender male and female. Verse 27, male and female, he created them. Notice, male and female, two, period, end of sentence, end of discussion. When it comes to gender, there's God's opinion and everybody else's is wrong. Gender is binary. Get over it. And why only two genders? Not because God is hateful or misogynistic or homophobic or transphobic. Genesis chapter 2. God did an operation on Adam. He created Eve. They all had a side of ribs. Adam saw Eve for the first time and said, "Hey, sweet thing, want to raise a little Cain if you're able?" And Eve said, "Okay, but just so you know, I'm wearing the plants in this family." Why two genders, male and female? Relationship. In the Trinity, God the Father has a relationship with persons who are like Him. So man created in God's image can have a relationship with a person who is like him too. Woman. The Hebrew word for man is ish. The Hebrew word for woman is isha. In other words, a woman is just a female man. That's how closely they are related to each other. Three persons, one God. Two persons, one flesh, which means marriage. The closest human relationship there is, only possible for a man and a woman. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Marriage, sex, children, family, basic building block of society. God's plan for all of civilization, all based on male and female, He created them. So two genders only is not about hate. It's not about oppression. It's not about letting people or denying people the opportunity to live out their authentic truth. It's about the very survival of God's created order itself. So woe be unto you if you blur the lines between male and female with transgenderism in any way, shape, or form, because Deuteronomy 22:5 says that is an abomination to God. And believe me, you do not want to be on the other side of that. God created gender male and female. And He created them different because God gets glory out of the unity of the differences. And the biggest difference between a man and a woman is not from the neck down, it's from the neck up. Who has a bigger brain, a man or a woman? A man does. What significance does that have? Absolutely none. Who has a better brain, a man or a woman? A woman does, because it's more efficient. In fact, every single one of us start out in the womb with a female brain. But about 7 weeks in, baby boys get their brains washed with a chemical called testosterone that changes the brain to male. Which means all guys are born brain damaged. That bridge between the right and left section of your brain, the area of reason and logic, that bridge is a lot wider in a woman than it is in a man. Which is why women tend to be more emotional and why they tend to have more feelings. But us guys get a bad rap because we've got feelings too. Like sometimes we feel hungry. So call in a pizza. It also means that women have better verbal skills than men do. Well, duh! And men don't understand women. We don't understand why a woman needs five pairs of shoes all exactly the same color black. We don't understand throw pillows. You know why they call them throw pillows? Because you got to throw them out of the way every time you try to sit down on the couch. What is the point? A man only recognizes about 11 different colors. Peach is not a color, it's a fruit. And so is pumpkin. And we don't even want to try to figure out periwinkle. And I don't stand when women talk about fat clothes. I have no concept of flat clothes. All of my clothes are fat clothes. But God wants us to enjoy the gender He gave us. And I do enjoy mine. If you're a guy, wedding plans take care of themselves. You can open jars without any help. Phone calls take less than a minute. You don't have to go to the bathroom in groups of three. The same hairstyle lasts for decades, maybe even for life. And you can leave your bed unmade, and it doesn't bother you at all. It's great to be male. What's the benefit of being female? You never have to use stupid pickup lines. You always smell good. Always. You never have to pay for food at a restaurant. Weddings are really all about you. You have couches in your bathrooms. And best of all, you live longer. Checkmate. Appreciate your gender. But the problem is, instead of appreciating the gender, transgenders reject the gender that God gave them. And because of that, they get everything about gender wrong. Well, Kevin, I was born trans. No, you weren't. Johns Hopkins University, which is not a Christian institution, no scientific evidence whatsoever that anybody is ever born gay or trans. None. Well, Kevin, there's a difference between your sex and your gender. See, your sex is the body parts that you were born with. Your gender is just how you feel about them. Your gender identity, which is more important. See the sign? My genitals don't define my gender. The problem is, Kevin, your gender is just something that's assigned to you by a doctor when you're born. No, it's not. A doctor doesn't assign gender to a baby. A doctor just recognizes what he sees. You got boy parts, you're a boy. You got girl parts, you're a girl. Your gender wasn't assigned by a doctor when you were born. Your gender was assigned by God when you were conceived in the womb. And how you think about it and how you feel about it doesn't change it. It doesn't change biological reality. Abraham Lincoln once asked an audience, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail as one of the legs? And when the audience said five, he said, no, it's four. Because just because of the fact you count a tail as a leg doesn't make it a leg. Up until the 1970s in academia and up until 2010 in general society, everybody knew that sex and gender were exactly the same thing, and they still are. So if there's somebody here, you're confused about the gender that you have, all you got to do is look down the front of your pants. It'll clear it right up. God made it very simple. And because transgenderism is all about feelings and no facts at all, because all kinds of people have all kinds of feelings about all kinds of things, what do you know? There's all kinds of genders today. First, they started out by saying there were four. Then they said there were 31, like the number of flavors of ice cream at Baskin Robbins. Then Facebook said there were 58 different genders. Now they claim there's 86. Today it's LGBTQIA+. You know what the plus stands for? More to come. And of course, why not? Because you reject the truth of God, you get the lie of the devil. And because stupidity has no limit, it's Katie bar the door. Pretty soon they're going to need a wheelbarrow to carry all the letters around. God created people male or female. And He created male and female different. That's why there's 6,537 genetic differences between a man and a woman. And don't tell me those differences ever, ever go away. Female fighter Fox Fallon is really a biological male named Boyd Burton, who even served in the Army Rangers before he supposedly transitioned to a woman back in 2006. But back in 2014, he fought one of the top female MMA fighters, a woman named Tamika Brents, and stomped her so bad in the first 2.5 minutes of that fight, he not only gave her a concussion, he shattered all the bones around her eyes and busted her skull so wide open it took 7 staples to close it up. And you know why that happened? Because a man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. Every single cell in your body, every single shred of your DNA has either male or female chromosomes. You are male or female, even down to the molecular level. And no amount of so-called transitioning in the whole wide world is ever going to change that. You can't change your gender, people. It's Looney Tunes. Now, you can take all kinds of toxic chemicals. You can have a doctor carve up your body like a Christmas ham. And that will sterilize you and neuter you like a stray cat, but it won't change your gender. Dr. Barry Starr, PhD, Stanford University, said this, "No amount of surgery, hormone injections, or anything else will ever change someone's DNA from a man's to a woman's or vice versa. Transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. Everybody, including Bruce Jenner, becomes feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify, and that is their biggest problem. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. You're confused about the gender that you have. You need to realize the problem is not with your gender. The problem is how you are thinking about your gender. So it's not a physical problem. It is a spiritual problem. You don't need a new body. You need a new heart. And today, if you come to Jesus Christ and get saved and have your thinking transformed, He will give you that brand new heart. And you will find out who you really are. Because folks, do you realize what an absolute incredible miracle of God you and your gender really are? 1 month, however many years ago, one of your mom's ovaries chose one of her thousands and thousands of eggs and formed a posse of support cells to fatten it up and then escorted it into one of your mom's fallopian tubes, where it had everything it needed to create you except the DNA from one of your dad's sperm. And that egg needed to get a date in a hurry, because if it wasn't fertilized in 2 days, it was going to die. So when your mom and dad were busy making you, your dad released about 300 million sperm, every single one of them carrying a different genetic package that would have given you different features than you have right now. And those sperm immediately started swimming for their lives, because that part of a woman's body is acidic and kills off any foreign invaders to prevent infection. Now, about 60% of all sperm, even from healthy guys, is abnormal and can't swim. So it was dead on arrival right out of the water, which means only about 120 million sperm survived. And they got more and more voted off the island as the steps went along, like at the next big obstacle. The cervix, the passageway into the uterus. Most of the time, a woman's cervix is closed by mucus to prevent germs and bacteria from getting in. But 2 days a month, it opens up some tiny channels and lets in about 10% of the sperm into the uterus, which means about 12 million sperm got in there 6 inches away from the egg. But the ones that got there the fastest got killed off by your mom's immune system, leaving only about 10,000 sperm left. 10,000 sperm swimming like salmon upstream, desperate for a booty call. But then the egg sent out a special chemical and altered the surface of some of the sperm, like a bachelorette passing out roses. And the sperm that got chosen, they got sucked in to the fallopian tube, even closer to the egg. The sperms that didn't get a rose, sayonara. So only about 200 sperm are left out of the original 300 million. And the 200 sperm are right next to the egg. But then there's another challenge, because the egg plays hard to get. Because the egg has a thick protein shell called the zona that sperm can't break open on their own. Because the egg demands a proper introduction. A protein pattern on the sperm cap has to match up precisely with a protein pattern on the egg surface. And only one of the 200 sperm will have that perfect matching pattern, like a combination lock. So the egg finds that one perfect sperm, kicks out all the other sperm, allowing the one perfect sperm to fuse with the egg, and then, and only then, the egg finally sucks the entire contents of the sperm, all DNA and 23 chromosomes, into itself. Fertilization complete, cells start to divide, hookup successful. Holy cow, people! You talk about work! You talk about a process! And when you think of all the odds and all the obstacles and all the hoops that one little egg and that one little sperm had to jump through to get together and create you, you like to not even got here at all. And what determines whether or not you're male or female? Every cell in your body has 46 chromosomes. 23 from your mom, 23 from your dad. 23 pairs of two. Your mom's egg, chromosome 23, is always X. Your dad's sperm, chromosome 23, is either X or Y. If it was X, you're a girl. If it was Y, you're a boy. The picture you see here on the screen shows what you look like at about 7 weeks in. Less than an inch long, weighing less than one-third of an ounce. And in that little body, you had two gonads that would become either ovaries or testicles, depending on that last chromosome contributed by your father, and your parents had no control over that whatsoever. God did. parents do not determine the gender of their baby by mom eating artichokes or Mexican food or dad wearing boxers instead of tidy whities. God is the one who determines whether or not you're a boy or a girl. And people, listen to me. After going through all that long, drawn out, miraculous, meticulous process, with God superintending every single step along the way, do you honestly believe God made a mistake when it came to your gender? People, listen to me. After all of that, how that one microscopic egg out of thousands and thousands of others and that one microscopic sperm out of 300 million others overcame all those odds and navigated that kind of an obstacle course to create you, either male or female, depending on the chromosome that God specifically chose and saved for last. Don't you realize that your life is an absolute flat-out miracle of God? You are not an accident. You are not a freak of nature, like evolution tells you. You are not a mistake, like the transactivists are telling. You are not a man trapped in a woman's body. You are not a woman trapped in a man's body. You are purposely male or female by God's own choosing. Purposely, miraculously created, just like you are by Almighty God. Psalm 139. He created your inmost being. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Your frame was not hidden from Him when He made you in the secret place. Every day He ordained for you was written down in His book before one of them came to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, male or female. The second thing that we need to understand about gender, God created gender, male or female. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about gender. God created gender, either male or female. A third, God created you with your gender for a purpose. Verses 26 to 28, be fruitful and multiply and exercise dominion over everything that God made. So people, we are not here to scroll Instagram and eat Tide Pods and play Fortnite and binge watch Walking Dead. You are created in the image and likeness of God. God's royal representative on earth. Senior vice president of the universe. With all kinds of God-given power and authority and dominion. Which is the reason that we can put a space probe on the surface of Mars. And mine for coal and dam rivers and tame horses. I could go on and on. And be fruitful and multiply doesn't just mean hook up and make babies. It also means be fruitful by multiplying your influence and your witness for Jesus Christ. And don't tell me that your gender is not a big part of that. MMA champion Scotty Bam Bam Sullivan is a born-again Christian. And he could not have the witness that he has to all the lost guys in that sport who desperately need the Lord if he wasn't a guy himself. Sadie Robertson could not influence so many girls and young women for Christ when she speaks all over the world if she was not a young woman herself. So men and women of God, we've got to get up off our blessed assurance and start exercising that dominion that God has given us. And listen to me, we better be exercising that dominion because right now the devil and the left are using LGBTQ to destroy this country and everything in it that's holy. Because the LGBTQ movement today came right out of the hell of Marxism. Amen. Karl Marx, the father of Marxism, back in the 1850s was hell-bent on destroying capitalism in Europe and America. And he knew he could destroy it if he destroyed the three institutions that supported capitalist societies. God, the church, and the traditional family. So in Marxism, Karl Marx replaced God with government. He started slamming the church by claiming that it was oppressing people. And then he started slamming the family by claiming that it oppressed women and by pushing every single sexual sin on the menu. Everything from affairs to homosexuality to what they called back then transvestitism. Being a transvestite. People acting like the opposite sex. What they would call transgenderism today. So much for the family. And Marxism gave birth to communism. And communists persecuted Christians like the devil himself. And the communists also pushed sexual perversion to the max. To destroy marriage and family in Russia too. Vladimir Lenin said this, "All prohibitions related to sexuality must be abolished. Even the ban on same-sex love and cross-dressing and transvestitism must be lifted, all to destroy the family, because the institutional family has become an oppressive evil that must be eliminated from society." Do we see what's behind all this? The Bolsheviks introduced wife swapping in Russia. Frederick Engels shacked up with two sisters. Lenin cheated on his wife so many times with prostitutes, he had chronic syphilis. Joseph Stalin pushed transgenderism and divorce, and by the 1930s, Russia had the highest divorce rate of any other country in the history of the whole wide world. Mission accomplished. And right now, the Marxist left in America has picked up where they left off, marching as to war under the banner of the rainbow colors, trying to destroy the church and family in America today. Folks, do we see what's going on? Do we understand what's happening? Joe Biden declared last March the 31st National Day of Transgender Visibility. Did anybody get balloons? And because of that, right now, if you're a parent and you try to stop your kid from being trans, the Attorney General and the Department of Justice will come after you and charge you with child abuse. People, this is insanity. This is flat out evil. And if you speak up against it, you get banned on YouTube. And you get charged with hate speech and committing a hate crime. And you get called a Christian nationalist and a threat to democracy. Do we see what's going on? Do we see what's really behind the LGBTQ movement? It's not compassion, it's communism. It's not about tolerance. It's about totalitarian government. It's not about giving them their sexual freedom. It's about destroying our religious freedom and using the power of the state to shut you up and to shut you down. And you know what's even scarier? According to Reuters, 54% of the American people, over half the people in this country right now, think it's just as fine and dandy as cotton candy. Christians, we better be exercising our dominion. And listen to me, we're going to exercise that dominion. We better hurry. Jesus said, Luke chapter 17, verse 28, that the last days will be like the days of Lot, which means the last days the world will be exactly like Sodom and Gomorrah. And folks, I hate to tell you this, we're already there. This month is supposed to be LGBTQ Pride Month. Pride parades, every major city in America. Depravity on display. Psalm chapter 12, verse 8, the wicked strut about freely, while what is vile is honored among men. And everybody and their brother falling all over themselves to promote it and to celebrate it. J.C. Penney even selling Wear Your Pride clothes from their Hope and Wonder collection. I think I'll pass. And don't tell me transgenderism is not a sign of the last days. Jesus said, Luke 21, 26, in the last days, we will see all kinds of crazy things. Things that were seemingly impossible to happen, like men being pregnant. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, there will be perilous times in the last days. And can a man give birth? Because there will be strong men with their hands on their loins as a woman giving birth to a baby. And what do we see? We got the pregnant man emoji. Rapper Lil Nas X with his hands on his stomach like he's a pregnant man. The latest Calvin Klein ad supposedly showing a pregnant man. The latest Netflix series he's expecting. The picture you see on the screen is Pete Buttigieg with his fake husband after they adopted twin babies last September. Notice, purposely wearing scrubs, purposely sitting in a hospital bed to try to give people the impression that men have given birth. Folks, don't tell me we're not living in the last days. Don't tell me these aren't the days of Lot. Don't tell me the Great Tribulation isn't this close away. All throughout history, the letter X has been a symbol of the unknown and fear and danger and the end. And all through the history of the church, the letter X has been a symbol of the Antichrist and the coming kingdom of the Antichrist. And isn't it interesting? All the X's that we see out there today. Xbox, X-Men, X-Factor, Triple X Church, Generation X. Last April the 11th, Joe Biden announced there would be a new gender marker. Besides male and female, for so-called transgendered people on the applications for passports and federal transportation systems. A gender marker that all TSA employees would recognize. And that gender marker would also be on all the paperwork that people need to fill out for the Social Security Administration. And government employees would recognize it. That gender marker would be on all applications for anybody visiting the White House for the sake of background checks. And what is that new gender marker? Well, what do you know? It's the letter X. X marks the spot. People, we are a heartbeat away from the Great Tribulation and the rapture of the church. We're talking today about people needing to appreciate being male or female created by God. But Christians, that starts with us appreciating being created male or female by God too. Because every single day, you and I are bombarded by all kinds of things from the world telling you you're not a real man. You're not a real woman. There's guys listening to this sermon right now. You don't have 9 Super Bowl rings like Tom Brady. You don't have money like Jeff Bezos. You don't have power like Elon Musk. You're not a real man. You don't have 6-pack abs like Zac Efron because your gut's more like the whole styrofoam cooler. You got a dad bod. You're not even a dad. You're not a real man. You work a job that you absolutely hate because you got a boss that dumps on you every day. And you can't afford to buy your kids all the iPads and the four-wheelers that all the other kids have. And you hate yourself for it. And you think that God hates you too. Because you're single and you've already lost your virginity. And you've got a porn problem. And you look at porn because it makes you feel kind of like a man, at least for a couple of seconds. You're not a real man. Maybe your girlfriend dumped you. Maybe your wife cheated on you with your best friend and then divorced you. You're getting older. And your plumbing doesn't work like it used to. You got to get up 5 times every night to pee. Because of the prostate surgery, you can't have sex with your wife anymore. And you feel like a failure. Maybe you're retired and right now you are so bored and depressed because of it. You want to kill yourself. You want to die. You don't feel like a man anymore. And I have to tell you something. The real problem is you're looking at the wrong image. There's women listening to this message right now. You get every single day messages from the Torah that tell you you're not a real woman. You don't have the best rear end in Hollywood like Kylie Jenner because you've got junk in your trunk. You don't have legs that go all the way up to your neck like Hailey Bieber. You don't look like supermodel Bella Hadid. Your breasts aren't as big as all the other girls in the 8th grade and you feel like a freak. You feel like you're fat and ugly and stupid. And you've been rejected. And all the while you were growing up, your mom and dad told you they wish you'd have been a boy instead. And you've already done all kinds of things sexually with guys that you shouldn't have done. And right now, you're cutting yourself and you're puking up everything you eat because you were sexually molested by your uncle and you've never told anybody and you hate yourself and you just want to die. You don't feel like a woman. You don't feel like a girl. There's good women listening to this sermon right now. You feel empty inside because you've never been married. You were never able to have a baby. And you're getting older and you're losing your hair and you don't think your husband finds you attractive anymore. And you raised your kids to know the Lord and every single one of them has turned their backs on God. And today they're as lost as dirt in a snowstorm and you feel like a failure. You don't feel like a woman anymore. And I've got to tell you today, the real problem is you're looking at the wrong image because God never intended you to live up to the image of the world. God intended you to live up to the image of Jesus Christ. You weren't created by the world for the world. You were created by God for God. So do not conform to the pattern of this world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. You're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. You're not supposed to look like them. You're supposed to look like Him. You try to look like them, the world will judge you and condemn you and troll you on social media and tell you to kill yourself. You try to be like Him, Jesus will accept you exactly like you are. And every single day, the Holy Spirit will give you every single thing that you need to become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In the flesh, you will never be the man or woman that the world says you should be. But in the Spirit, you already are the man or woman that God wants you to be. You say, but Kevin, I've sinned and I've marred that image of God in me. Yes, but you've got to realize the devil does not tempt you and attack you with sex and porn and puking and cutting because you're weak. He tempts you and attacks you because you're strong and because he knows what you're capable of doing for God. Yes, you failed him, but notice, he has never failed you. That image of God is still there. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's been done to you. That image of God is still there. Even if you do got a back 40. Even if your calves do like cows. Even if you do look like you fell through an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. That image of God is still there. Listen to me. You're not short. You're fun size. You're not fat. It's just that you're so beautiful, it overflows. You're still hot. It just comes in flashes now. You're not getting older. You're increasing in value. Because though outwardly you are wasting away, inwardly you are being renewed day by day. The image of God is still there. You still matter. You still count because you're still His. Christians, we have got to stop looking at ourselves like the world does and start looking at ourselves like God does. You are created in the image and the likeness of God. Which means when God looks at you, He doesn't see failure, He doesn't see loser, He doesn't see fat slob, He sees Himself, Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God in you. The world did not create you, the world will not define you. God created you, God will define you. You are God's representative on earth. Created a little less than the heavenly angels and crowned with glory and honor. And every single day you speak and touch and mold and form the world and turn it upside down. And one of these days you will sit on thrones reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And if God is for you, nobody can be against you because the Jesus in you is stronger than the entire world that's against you. The masters of the universe are not in Marvel Comics. They're right here in this church. So get to your feet, stand up straight, set your jaw. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Men and women of God, let's hear your roar. Amen. Amen. Men and women of God. You are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are. As you remain standing, every single person in this room right now, every single person in the world is a special creation of God. Everybody. Everybody. And that's a miracle. You are a regular scientific marvel, and nothing will ever take that image of God away from you or from them. But I have to tell you this morning, being a special creation of God is not enough. Because sin has marred that image of God in you. And that sin separates you from God. And causes us to deserve punishment from God. And if something isn't done about that sin, even though you are precious to God and a special creation of God, you will go to hell for eternity. But the good news is you don't have to go there. Because 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of that marred image. He sent the perfect image, His Son Jesus Christ, down here to this earth. And Jesus died on a cross to pay the price for your sin and rose from the dead for your salvation. And today, if you confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood He shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, He will forgive you. And just as important, He will restore that perfect image of God in you in righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. You were created once, but because of sin, you need to be created again. You were born once, but because of sin, you need to be born again by coming to know Jesus as your Savior. Special creation of God will get you here on this earth. But in order to get to heaven, you've got to be a new creation in Christ. You've got to get saved. Because God didn't just intend you to be a man or a woman. He intended you to be a man or a woman of God. You're standing in this church right now. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. This service is over with. You get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church. You find somebody here and you pray with them to receive Christ. And you've got to do that today. Listen to me. These are the last days. And at a time when so many people are so deceived by the devil, they don't even know what a man or a woman is. You have got to know who you are. You have got to know that you are a man or a woman of God. And you can know that today. The Almighty God who miraculously formed you and created you, brought you to this church this morning, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He has made the gospel understandable to you today, which means today is the day. Today is the day you get saved. You come up here after the service is over, you pray to receive Christ, you will find out that image really is everything. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for everybody standing here. I pray for everybody in this church. I know that there are people in this room right now who are not saved. They are not Christians. Lord, You created us so miraculously and so wonderfully, but You did not create us just to put us here on this earth. You created us so one day we'll go to heaven with You. I just pray for somebody here this morning who is not saved, who does not understand how special they really are and the special plan of salvation You have for them. Would You move in their heart, Lord? Would You speak to their spirit so that they will come to know You as their Savior today? All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.